Yeah, welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. Got another sunrise coming up over my shoulder, so doing fine.
Very nice. Nick Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing good. Got a good night's of rest after a very eventful day. And glad to be here this morning, gentlemen. And by the way, PK has left his recorder lying around here, so we have to give that back somehow.
Do we know for sure that's his?
Looks like it.
Okay. We'll see if we can figure that out.
We'll see if we could. Maybe there. We should listen to it. He probably has some recordings of him. Okay, I'm going to practice again. Tom Pelissero, I'm so sorry, and I want you to be my friend.
Yeah, you probably can't see the video cam either on his recorder, unfortunately. So,
no, probably not, unfortunately. We'll see what happens on that front. Get to the bottom of whether or not the missing recorder is, in fact, that of Paul Kuharsky. That'd be good to figure out. I might have to text him about it later.
If it has a huge cassette in it, I promise you it's his.
Yes,
he and
yes.
John Glennon both have 1988 Fisher-Price tape recorders.
Yes, just battling each other to see who can be the most boomer of them all. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. The Preds streak comes to an end last night. They lose to the Arizona Coyotes. We'll get into that pretty heavy into the 7 o'clock hour. But, Joe, just real quickly on that, a game last night where they got out to a very quick 2-0 lead. And then the defense was terrible, the goaltending was terrible, and that's a pretty bad combination. And I guess, you know, in honestly, all honesty, Joe, we probably should have seen this coming, especially because it's Arizona, and for whatever reason, in Arizona, they can't do anything, and this has been like a 3 or 4 year problem at this point, maybe longer than that now that I'm thinking about it, but we probably should have seen this coming, that in Arizona was where it was going to stop.
Yeah, it makes sense. Oh, that's the thing. It's like so many things about recent teams, you know, that this team is sort of, you know, burying and, you know, in a new era, and they're doing, and it's like, but still, doesn't matter who it is, Arizona, still a problem.
Good news is you're not going to have to play Arizona in the playoffs. So luckily you get a break by going to Colorado on Saturday. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, right. When's the last time you said terrible defense, terrible goaltending? I mean, the Dallas game?
Yeah, the Dallas game.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah. And you, I mean, look, you just, no matter what is going on for a team, there's going to be a clunker in there. I'm not to, you know, just dismiss it altogether, but
yeah,
it's just hard to, you can't do it every night.
Yeah. Like, certainly, like, I don't think anybody, if you're a Predators fan, should be like just monumentally concerned by what they saw last night. They got a big one coming up tomorrow against Colorado, and we'll see how that goes. The NCAA tournament last night as well, with some really good games, especially I really enjoyed Alabama, North Carolina. That was awesome game. Alabama
amazing
escapes
game.
89-87. Illinois in late night game, a 72-69 win against Iowa State. Clemson keeps their magical run going, 77-72. And UConn totally destroying San Diego State, 82-52, and really the one game of the night that was not any good whatsoever.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so we'd missed out on what I said going to the tournament is the number one game I want to watch, which is Auburn-UConn, which could have been amazing last night. But I do think Illinois has a chance because they're so good offensively to make that a game. We'll see. On the other side, look, we'll see what happens with Tennessee. But the biggest thing that I took away last night is I'm watching Arizona just not able to guard an inbounds pass and just giving just, you know, they're just not great. And I'm also watching North Carolina fumble around. I'm like, man, Tennessee could be the one out there and they would be, you know, and I do think actually that Tennessee, cause you know, they used to have a rule where you can't meet a conference opponent until the Elite Eight, but the rule now is a Sweet 16. So I think it would have been Tennessee Bama last night. Hey, maybe Bama would have got him. Bama played amazing. Grant Nelson, I mean, the North and South Dakota basketball stars in this tournament are just crazy, man. They're all over the place. But that, you know, we'll see what happens this weekend. You know, Tennessee can win two games here and get to the Final Four, but you if they don't, you're gonna look back at the Kentucky Mississippi State games and say, man, that would have been a good deal for you to get that one instead of getting the two here.
No respect for Clemson? What are we talking about? Clemson's on a roll, baby.
Well, that's true. Clemson is seriously, like, I've watched 5 minutes of them this year. They bore the hell out of me, and I just but I watched them last night, and I'm
I
like,
bet Dabo's enjoying this. I bet he is.
yeah, you know he's gonna start sticking his snout in there and start trying to get into the celebrations and stuff, you know. But man, I mean, that team in the ACC tournament got like blown out by Boston College. Everybody wanted to fire the coach, you know. And now here they are in the Elite Eight. So that's this tournament. There's just some stuff you're just like, I don't know. I can't tell you why.
Yeah, it's a wild tournament, and I thought overall, other than the UConn game, who, by the way, it looks like they may just be on their way to capturing this thing up again. We'll see what happens on that front, but they've been unbelievably impressive. I mean, Purdue has too, so we'll see what happens there. But it's been a heck of a run for UConn to this point. But a good night overall, other than that game in the NCAA tournament last night, and then there's Tennessee tonight. Tennessee taking on Creighton in the Sweet 16. We talked about the matchup yesterday, Joe. We're going to get into kind of the fan base Rick Barnes part of this here in just a few minutes. But a big one tonight for the Vols, the late tip here. So locally here in Nashville, it's a 9:09 tip tonight. So it's going to be a late one for Tennessee and Creighton. But you got NC State Marquette today, Gonzaga Purdue. The winner of that, if you're Tennessee and you beat Creighton, you take on the winner of Gonzaga Purdue. And then Duke and Houston, the other game in the South region today, which also I think has a chance to be a pretty good one. But big one tonight for Tennessee. And if you're able to get the win and get to the Elite Eight, that's a big deal for this program.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, second time ever, right? As we've talked about, first time Bruce Pearl, St. Louis, 2010, lost to Michigan State, and that was a wild game. Free throws, and Draymond made the late pass, and there was a foul at like 2.2 of a second or whatever the heck it was. Heartbreaker. But you win tonight, and you set yourself up for the biggest win in school history, right? I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you win tonight, and you are 40 minutes away from the biggest win in Tennessee men's basketball history. So that's pretty heady stuff. And tonight, I mean, I've been saying all week I like the matchup for Tennessee, because there's no one on Creighton who individually I think is a problem. Now, Baylor Shireman, third team All Americans, 18 points a game, 6'6", incredible shooter. So, that you have to stay attached to that guy. But if you don't have someone in particular, usually a point guard or a wing who's really explosive, who can just take someone and force people to rotate and help off people, I think Tennessee will, be able to stay with everyone. The 7 footer is a big key. Kalkbrenner and against Adu, and then it's also, can Tennessee actually turn them over and really disrupt them? I mean, if they hold on to the ball, they're going to get some shots, and they do shoot it at a very high level.
And Vescovy apparently under the weather yesterday, but expected to play tonight. So we'll see, number one, if he can play. Number two, how effective he'll be if he can play. And number three, Joe, anytime I see somebody under the weather this time of year around the team, I'm like, okay, is this going to be like some big breakout in the Tennessee locker room, or are they just going to be able to avoid this?
Yeah, no kidding. Now that you mention it, I was in that locker room yesterday. I'm feeling a little bit sick today, so I hope that's not
Boy.
I hope that's not a that a sign of things to come. Everybody seemed fine in there, so and yeah, it's expected to play. I mean, if he can't go or if he's limited, then that's Mayshak and Gainey, and they have depth. And Gainey's a guy who, man, if they could get him to hit a couple shots, I mean, he's really struggling with that shot, but he was really good defensively against Texas. I mean, he's not as good as Vescovy, I'd say, consistently, but they do have some answers there if there's a limitation on Vescovy.
Big game for the Vols tonight in the Sweet 16. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. And my question for Tennessee fans and my question for Joe Rexroth this morning, if they win tonight and they get to the Elite Eight, is that enough to quiet the Rick Barnes tournament stuff that we talk about all the time. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt Baseball takes on Missouri with pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Vanderbilt Baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. Vols in action tonight, taking on Creighton in the Sweet 16 with an opportunity, Joe, to advance to the Elite Eight for the second time in program history. And we talked about it, at least I think from our vantage point heading into the tournament. If you get to the Elite Eight, the matchup, presumably, assuming they win today, which may be too much of an assumption, but I'd just like go ahead and write them in. Purdue taking down Gonzaga. Like, assuming that happens, then if you're Tennessee and you win tonight, you'll be taking on Purdue and the Elite Eight. They are the one seed. They have beaten you already once this year, and they are, in many people's mind, either the favorite or the second favorite to win the national title behind UConn. So it's a long way of me saying if Tennessee wins tonight, goes to the Elite Eight, they lose to Purdue, there's really no shame in losing to this Purdue team. But given the history of Tennessee, given the history of Rick Barnes in this tournament, the one Final Four appearance that he has, and it was a long time ago, I ask you, if Tennessee wins tonight, they get to the Elite Eight, regardless of what happens from here moving forward, is that enough to quiet the noise? Should that be enough to quiet the noise on the Rick Barnes tournament struggles that Tennessee fans have talked about that have been such a popular topic of conversation this time of year?
Well, I think it depends on the specific nature of the noise, because I think you still could sit there as a Tennessee fan and say, okay, so when are we going to the Final Four? If this team with this guy who's going to be a first round pick, and he joins this already really good team, and we have all these things going for us, when will the Tennessee men's basketball fan get to enjoy the Final Four? I mean, I think that's and is Rick Barnes, is it just going to take a coach other than Rick Barnes to make it happen? I mean, I think that would still be a complaint and a fair complaint. I also think that, yeah, like you have to also acknowledge matching the greatest run that Tennessee men's basketball has ever had, and it's only happened one time. You have to acknowledge that, So I think it would quiet it some, but we've been talking about it all year. Like, yeah, I think this team's good enough to win a national championship when it's playing its absolute best. And so it also depends on how the games go, right? Like, especially like if it does happen with Purdue, yeah, I think it's going to be Purdue. I mean, if you tell me right now Gonzaga is going to hit 15 threes tonight and pull a Clemson on them, I mean, that happens in the tournament, but I think it'll be Purdue. Does Tennessee play at its highest level or close to it in this incredible game and lose a heartbreaker to, a team with a 7-4 guy who's just dominant? Then I think you have to look at that and say a heartbreaker for one, but also I don't think yelling at Rick Barnes would be the thing at that point. Would be, it's just, but it is history, Robbie. It's his history. It's always going to come back around. So I think it quiets it some. It's sort of like how level-headed of a fan you are in there, but I think you're still going to have a wide range of reactions to that.
Well, I can tell you this: if they lose tonight, then it's not going to be quiet at all. I mean, lose the game tonight in the Sweet 16 and fail to advance to the Elite Eight, at least with this group, then that all that stuff that we've talked about with Rick Barnes, it's just going to come right back up at the end of the game tonight. It's what we'll be talking about on Monday morning, and it's what'll be kind of haunting this program heading into the offseason of, like you said, you had this great team, an SEC regular season title. You had things kind of line up for you where you had a special player in Dalton Connect and you got beat in the Sweet 16. Like, that's going to be directly on Rick Barnes. Regardless, like, if Tennessee goes out there and their players just choke and they shoot like 21% from the field tonight, it's still going to be on Rick Barnes. And that's what the fan base is going to say. Like, I do think there's a huge difference, or at least there should be, in my opinion, a huge difference in losing to Purdue in the Elite Eight and losing this game tonight. Not that Creighton's not a good team. Not that Creighton can't beat you. Like, they absolutely can. But to me, there's a huge difference in the reaction of what we're going to see from the fan base if they lose tonight rather than lose on Sunday to Purdue.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that's totally fair. You know, I think it is. I mean, it is. It's like when it comes down to it, you know, I mean, Rick Barnes, let's see. I mean, he's lost, you know, he lost to an 11. Now that 11 did go to the Final Four. Lost to a 12. This is just at Tennessee. Lost to a 12. Like the one really good seed he lost to was this exact round in 2019 when Purdue was the 3. So it was a 2-3 game just like this. Purdue was a 3, beat Tennessee, that crazy game. But other than that, he's lost to, you know, like pretty low seeds in all these tournaments. You want, you know, it's like at one point, and it's all and always to a lower seed than Tennessee, you
Yeah.
know? So yeah, 2-3 obviously is close you can get, but yeah, like can you handle the team seeded lower than you in a season when you were this good, when you were this close to a one seed? But again, I think also not just the Barnes tournament stuff and everything, but also like, man, you guys blew it. If they don't, you know, if they don't get out this weekend, you know, you guys could have been somewhere else, I think, with a better draw and didn't get that. So that'll also be part of the discussion.
Well, then on the flip side of things, Joe, I mean, this weekend has the chance to be like the seminal moment for the Tennessee men's basketball program. Like, if you could pull it off tonight and you could pull it off on Sunday against Purdue or Gonzaga and you're able to get to the Final Four, I mean, this is clearly at that point the best Tennessee team of all time. And you put yourself in a Final Four with a chance to go compete for the national title. So, you know, focusing on like the pressure that's on Tennessee, I think is real. But also, if you're able to deliver and come through, this has a chance to be kind of that groundbreaking moment for the Tennessee men's basketball program that I think the fan base has been waiting on.
No doubt. And you know, it's, you know, it would, the thing is, it's very similar on the Purdue side, but like with both Rick Barnes and Matt Painter, not only would it be this huge moment for both of those programs or fan bases, but I think college basketball at large would like to see one of these guys be in the Final Four. Rick's been there one time, Matt's never been there, and they're both two of, I mean, they really are like two of the, I think, best, most liked people, you know, coaching in college sports, probably, you know. So it's really interesting if they match up too, like that. There's a lot of sentiment behind it with both, and you know, I mean, they've played this year. Tennessee was a totally different team. Zakai Ziegler was, I mean, he was playing, but he wasn't himself. He wasn't what he became. You know, he was playing really early on that knee, and he was a shell of what he is now, right? I mean, now he really is one of the best point guards in the country. And by the way, if we do get to that matchup, you know, Zakai Ziegler, just like a lot of great athletes, they have the kind of chip on the shoulder about whatever you can find. And you know, the top five for the Bob Cousy includes Braden Smith of Purdue, does not include Zakai Ziegler, which I objectively, that's really bad. That's bad. Braden
Yeah.
Smith's a good player. He is. But Zakai Ziegler, his numbers have suffered because he played early in the season when he was out there, and he just wasn't, you know. You go look at what his numbers have been from SEC play on, they're elite. So there's another little thing as part of that game. But also the whole Barnes Painter thing, it would be pretty epic to get to that game. And if Tennessee were to win that game, yeah, like, I mean, you're talking, you're just blowing up narratives, and you're the celebration. I would imagine, you know, Tennessee fans, you see what happens like with baseball, you know, when something big happens or whatever it is. Like they, I mean, I would imagine like the flock to Arizona would be pretty epic. That'd be my guess.
Oh, yeah. Are you ready for a text from Scott, my Alabama fan father? He said,
Yes.
plus you add in the fact that Alabama is in the Elite Eight, the realization of still being inferior and you can't beat them in anything. This is from my dad on the text line, on my personal text line.
Didn't
There we
Tennessee
go.
sweep Alabama this year?
Yeah, I don't think he cares about that right now. I think he's just
Oh
setting things up. I think he's ready for it.
man. Yeah. Well, hey, how about
So I'm gonna need Rick Barnes to win tonight. That'd be great.
a Tennessee Alabama national championship game?
Like, I'm here for it.
I mean, we got an Alabama Clemson Elite Eight game, which is like, you know, Tua against Trevor or whatever, you know, so why not, you know?
Just keep them coming. No question about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Throwing the question out to you. If Tennessee can win If they can get to the Elite Eight, does that quiet the noise on the Rick Barnes tournament stuff? And what do you make of the opportunity in front of Tennessee basketball this week with a chance to get to the Final Four for the first time? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. Go online to leecompany.com/giveaway in order to enter. Once again, that's leecompany.com/giveaway. The 10K Power Play Giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April the 20th. Lee Company, all you need. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning, live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Tennessee in the Sweet 16 tonight, taking on Creighton. We're taking your thoughts on the Vols. If Rick Barnes wins this game and the Vols win, is that enough to quiet the noise from Tennessee fans on his tournament stuff? Now, Joe, real quickly, there's something I need you to do when you're out here in Detroit tonight with your fellow basketball bennies, as Jared Stillman would say. You know, CBS Sports did this really nice story, this like documentary piece on Zakai Ziegler. And, you know, if for those who forgot, his home in New Jersey burned to the ground a couple years ago. Tennessee fans rallied, raised money on the GoFundMe, and now his mother and family's living here in Tennessee, and specifically in Knoxville. It's a really cool story, great stuff that they did. The narrator the whole time can't say the word Vols. It's always Voles. The first round
really?
Game this year, the color analyst was saying Voles. And I'm like, why is Vols such a hard word to say? Is this a Northeastern thing? Like, why can't people say Vols? I need you to educate people this weekend, Joe. It's Vols. It's not Voles. There's no E in there.
It's Vols, or I will accept Vols, but
yeah,
not
that too.
Voles.
Yeah,
Voles. Okay, I'll
not
keep
close.
I will spread the word on that. Huh, interesting. Yeah, it's funny because, well, first of all, I wrote about 3,000 words on Zakai, by the way. Check it out, theathletic.com.
Boom.
And I talked to TJ Ford, who, of course, is the one Rick Barnes point guard who has gotten Rick Barnes to the Final Four. But we were talking. Thank you. Thank you. But I was talking with Zakai yesterday about that piece. And I'm like, yeah, it's really interesting that, like, that came out now. He's like, yeah, he's like, so the film crew was there for the Arkansas game last year, and he tore his ACL. So basically, like, this was going to run last year, and they tore his ACL that night, and they were going to do it in the tournament and everything, and then it was like, okay. But it's also weird, if you think about that, it's like, so they waited till this weekend? Like, they knew for sure they were going to make this weekend? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's strange.
Meanwhile, in a year, they could have figured out how to say Vols. But I guess they didn't.
They didn't do it.
Yeah.
The journey continues. We'll see what happens on that front. Brian, going back to our question on Rick Barnes, says it's doubtful that quiets the noise. Vols fans expect world domination. Any failure is worthy of being guillotined. This is from Brian on the text line. Jeez.
Well, hey, man. You know, the Vol Twitter reaction to things. I mean, I'll still never forget when they lost to Loyola. Oh, good
oh boy.
God. No. Whoever. And he was like one of those radio dudes, right? He's like, bleep, Sister Jean. Like, okay, man.
Yeah, I think it was.
All right.
And calm down, buddy.
Thanks. I remember David Haw, friend of the show from Chicago, wrote a column. He was still writing for the Tribune. He called this dude up. He's like, what's wrong with you? You seriously tweeted bleep, Sister Jean? Do you understand what an idiot you are? And the guy was like, I don't remember what he said, but yeah, I mean, there's going to be some reaction of any Tennessee loss that is going to be like the world is ending. Sure. You know, but like we're talking about, you know, we're talking about the bulk, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the bulk, if you win tonight, now I do think probably some of it depends on how you play against Purdue. Like, if Purdue just beats you by 25 points, I think that's much different than you losing, you know, by two or three in a heartbreaking game on Sunday and that's back and forth. Like, if you just get dominated by Purdue, I think the reaction's different from that, too. So there's a little bit of nuance in this discussion when it comes to how the fan base is going to react to if they lose on Sunday in the Elite Eight. Now, obviously, if they break down the door and win, then I think if they get back to the Final Four, the Rick Barnes stuff, it's probably over with at that point in terms of the tournament.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, and then, then you get to the Final Four and you're going to have an entire week of build up. And so they're going to play, let's see. Well, I guess they would play either, well, what, Houston, Duke, NC State, or Marquette, right? I think that's their side of the bracket, isn't
I
it?
believe so.
Yeah, but you're going to have this whole week and you're like, why, okay, let's talk national championship. But just to be in the Final Four alone is, I mean, again, it's like getting to the Super Bowl in the NFL. I know it's four teams, but that week lead up is for the four team tournament. You have that quick turnaround and a stupid Monday night, late start for the national championship game, but it's a different experience altogether. It would be gigantic for the program. And yeah, I mean, I think the Rick Barnes stuff would quiet. Look, the Rick Barnes stuff, whatever happens this weekend, at some point he's going to retire, and I don't think it's like way down the road. And then we'll see if somebody else can have the kind of consistent excellence that he's had. It just hasn't happened. I think Bruce Pearl was also a guy who was doing that, and then as we talked about, he screwed it up. But that's always the counter to the whole Rick Barnes thing is, okay, well, do you like winning and being high seeds and being in the tournament every year? But it's fair on both sides. At some point, if you can't take a great team like this and go deep, then when are you going to go deep?
What do you think? Let's say they win this weekend and they get to the Final Four. What does the buzz look like? Maybe even around here with casual basketball fans, but who are big Tennessee fans. What do you think the buzz looks like for this Tennessee team if they're able to break through this weekend?
First of all, I'm really interested to see tonight what it looks like in there. I mean, from what I've seen around here, Purdue fans are, all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
They've known all season they were going to play here. They've known they were going to be a one seed. They've known they're going to play here. It's like a 3-hour drive to Purdue. So, that's going to be the dominant fan base. But what kind of out? What kind of what kind of turnout are we looking at with Vols fans here? But regardless, if they win two games here, I think that I think you're going to see people like, okay, this is once in a lifetime. This is a Final Four, and I think it'll be wildfire on this. Like I said earlier, like we've seen it with baseball, and I know some of that stuff. It's still built over time with baseball excitement, but I think that there's a lot of fans of Tennessee that I think have do just feel like they can't trust it. They can't totally throw themselves into it because they just expect to be heartbroken. So if you get out of this weekend, everybody's all in.
Everybody's all in. And like you said, I mean, it is kind of similar to the baseball run a few years ago, where it's just like, wow, there are a lot of Tennessee people that all of a sudden care about baseball. It's different with basketball because, I mean, look, the basketball program has been kind of building to this, and the fan base has responded really well the whole time. I mean, Thompson Bowling has been one of the best places to play in
Yeah.
America throughout this whole stretch. So it's not quite the same as like what Vitello did when they broke through and started winning games all the time. But I just think that, Tennessee fans, we've talked about this before, and we talked about this heavily during like Hendon Hooker's run and Tennessee competing for the college football playoff this year. The fan base is starving for a winner, right? And starving for a championship. And if you get to the Final Four, I'm with you. Like, I think the Vol fan response in Arizona will be great, but I think the interest level goes up dramatically if you can break down the door and Tennessee fans feel like they can trust you, right? And that's a dangerous place to be sometimes for a fan, but yeah, I still think there's a little bit of hesitancy. Number one, because of the tournament history, and number two, Joe, because in two of the last three games, they've shot terribly. And I think there is some of the fan base looking around and saying, all right, like tonight against Creighton, can they actually put the ball through the basket, which they've really struggled to do the last two out of the last three games.
Yeah, Ryan Shumpert does a really good job for Rocket Top Insider. I mean, he had a piece breaking it down month by month, and yeah, I mean this month has just been it's just been bad, and so there is a team wide concern. I do feel like early in this game tonight, that just having a couple go down would be big. You don't want to get into another one of those nights where it just starts to get like the groan every time a 3-pointer goes up, Too many guys on this team that can shoot it for that. And again, I said this earlier in the week, but Ziegler and Connect, you need role players to chip in and hit shots, but those guys, They've got to play well. I mentioned earlier Ziegler, right? He was a shell of himself early in the season. When they played Purdue and Maui, he played 28 minutes off the bench, 2 for 11, 1 for 7 from three, 5 points. He had 3 assists and 3 turnovers. It's a terrible game.
Yep.
That's not him. That's not who he is. Connect only had 16. Adu had 1 rebound and 5 points. And on the other side, Fletcher Loyer, who is very good, sophomore shooter, had 27, along with Edie's 23 and 10. Again, they lost 71-67. First of all, I'm already looking ahead to that matchup, which, we can do in media. Vols can't do, or they will not play in that game. But
Correct.
there's a lot of growth, especially in some of those key guys from then to here, that could be, really applied to that game, and it was already interesting the first time around.
Raymond and Franklin on the text line, going back to the Vols pronunciation thing, says, spread the word, Joe. Just don't spread those mints around. Do you have any mints with you? And are they loose this weekend?
I'm not making this up. Yesterday, I went into the Tennessee locker room, but I was walking around the arena and everything. I put one of my pocket mints in my little shirt pocket.
Oh my God.
So as soon as I got in there, I'm like, all right, oh, pop it out of my little, oh, there it is, my little mint pocket. I have it. But it's okay to have your own mints in your pocket, right? Is
Yeah,
that okay,
you
everybody?
didn't distribute them to anyone else.
No, I'm done with that.
Anybody want my pocket mints? Pocket mints, going once, going twice. Anybody want one?
Need one of those jackets, like with watches, but with like loose mints that are just stuck to the jacket.
Rick Barnes, would you
Everybody.
like some?
I did tell you that. Oh no, did I tell you? I didn't tell you because it was after the show. So, into the arena yesterday. I get into the elevator. It stops in like in the floor 50 something. Pops in, but Rick and Candy Barnes. How
Oh
about
boy.
that?
Wow.
I'm like, hey, how you guys doing? Where are you going? And they were going to like the ballroom, and I'm like, oh, team stuff. Gotcha.
yeah.
Someone says, "Damn, Joe, how many Bud Ice did you have? You sound rough." Yeah, no, I took it easy, man. I can't totally get over this sick thing, but I have not had a Bud Ice, I would say, since about 1993. Thank goodness. That's a bad beer.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Vols. We'll also get into the Titans coming up next. Jared Stillman will join us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into the Preds and their streak coming to an end last night with him. All that coming up. If you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Got some tickets to give away to see Fallout Boy coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Fallout Boy at Bridgestone Arena this Sunday, March 31st, 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tennessee in action tonight. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Vols. Get his thoughts on the Predators' winning streak coming to an end last night. Joe, we had Charles Robinson on yesterday, and it's funny. I continue to look around kind of the NFL draft talk right now. And J.J. McCarthy, there's a lot of noise about J.J. McCarthy of maybe him going to the Patriots. Could that be picking up steam? It feels like there's always one quarterback in the draft that just gets the noise around him heading into it about whether or not they're going to move up, how far they're going to move up. Charles brought up Will Levis yesterday, and there was a time last year in the process of the draft where it kind of felt like Will Levis was going number 4 overall to Indianapolis. And of course, we know what happened. He didn't even go in the first round. So trying to sift through the smoke screen of what's real and what's not real this time of year is difficult. But also, like, if you're a Titans fan, I think you're hoping that this J.J. McCarthy stuff is about as real as it gets, because if you could somehow get 4 quarterbacks in the mix before your pick at number 7, that can't do anything but help you.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, maybe Harbaugh's really out there just, creating a bunch of burners and putting on a fake mustache and calling up reporters and stuff, telling them how amazing he is. But no, I think there's real momentum for him. I think there's certainly some real momentum. And one thing that's also real is teams deciding, gosh, we got to have a quarterback. Let's go ahead. Let's try it with this guy, But Levis is a good example. I mean, you mentioned number four. I think it was what, 2 or 3 days before the draft, all of a sudden it was like Levis is going to go number one, but it was like a Reddit post, right? Wasn't
Yes.
that right? It was
There's
just
a
like,
Reddit post, and it actually affected like the line. The
that's
line on the
right.
sports books, like Levis shot up because people were betting on Levis to go number one overall.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane. But Levis was an interesting one. I mean, Levis, I think, could end up being a heck of a bargain. Obviously, if he's what the Titans hope he is or close to it, and they got him in the second round, that's a heck of a bargain. But what you see a lot is, what you see mostly, predominantly, you see quarterbacks who in the first round, they don't live up to the billing. That doesn't stop people from doing it. So I think there's a real chance that it does work out that way, that four quarterbacks push everybody else down, before the Titans. And then the whole Harbaugh thing is really interesting. Harbaugh's, I think, central to the Titans, situation. And maybe it's good that he's out there talking up the offensive line.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like, psh, I mean, I'm taking Marv, that might be.
The old smoke screen from Khaki Man. I wonder if Connor Stallions is back as in the employ of Jim Harbaugh and maybe what he could be doing for the Chargers right now. We'll have to wait and see on that front. Got a texter that says, I'm hoping for a Dunze at seven. Callahan needs elite wide receivers in his system. D-Hop has 1 year left. I think a lot of people, Joe, have dismissed. Now that they have Calvin Ridley and that we know they need a left tackle, like the idea of taking a wide receiver at number seven has been dismissed by a lot of Titans fans. But I do wonder, especially if Alt's off the board and he's their highest pick or their highest graded guy, would you consider going wide receiver after that? I mean, I guess you have to leave open the possibility, Joe, that maybe an Adunze or a Neighbors, if they're there, their highest rated guy anyway. And that's the way they go, regardless of what they've got available to them. Like, are we too quick to maybe discount the possibility of one of these elite receivers we've talked about being picked at number seven, just because we all know that at some point they have to get a left tackle?
Yeah, probably, because if it's somebody and they're like, oh my gosh, this is our top guy on the board, and this is a star receiver, and again, it's true, D Hop has 1 year left on his deal. I mean, I absolutely can make a case for that, especially with the tackle depth. Now, there's a receiver depth too, but if you like the tackle depth and you think that you can get a starting left tackle in the second round, because I think you would have to then restrict yourself to need in your next pick. I really do. And I know some people would still say, man, if you're going to be guided totally by need, you're going to have a worse roster than you should have over time. But I think that it would be malpractice to do all these things and then not get a left tackle for your young quarterback, and
Yes.
they don't have one. So I think that that's the only thing, is then you're like, okay, then the best possible option at left tackle has to be that 38.
Right. And you can't, to me, you can't walk out of the first two rounds without a left tackle. I mean, that'd be a disaster, I think, if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans. One thing that is interesting about this draft process. And we Kuharski was with us earlier in this week and talked about inside linebacker and how the Titans could draft one maybe a little bit later in the draft. Who's wearing the green dot? Like, who's going to be in charge of lining people up? And if it's not going to be Kenneth Murray, which I don't think it will be, how do we feel about a rookie coming in and doing that? Like, that seems like a lot to ask for from a rookie coming in and playing in the NFL for a first time while also being responsible out there for the defense and the front seven lining up and recognizing NFL style offenses and those kind of things. So what do we make of that part of it?
Yeah, well, Trevor Maddich, we got Jared coming up. So I mentioned this the other day. I really enjoyed the Trevor Maddich segment this week, and they talked about that. And according to Trevor, and I mean, Trevor has great insights, on things like this. He's like, there's just no way that a rookie can do that. You can't do that to a rookie. So it's like, okay, well then who's the veteran then? Is it Dr. Jack?
May have to be.
The Dr. Jack Gibbons and Kenneth Murray then in the middle there? I mean, yeah, it may have to be there. I don't even know who right now on the veteran side of things is possible at inside linebacker. There is always, the trade possibility too, but I do think that they, and again, it's like, okay, you're always like, I do think they should draft this and this and this. And it's like, well, they're not going to draft all those things. I think you definitely make a case for them to somewhere try to get another inside linebacker in this draft. But yeah, I don't think that person, the thing is like, even if you think, okay, like a rookie, like a really talented high-end rookie could do it, could wear the green dot, you're not drafting high enough for that anyway, right? I
No.
mean, you're drafting someone that you hope to develop into someone who can see the field. So I think my guess right now is Gibbons.
Mean, Zach Cunningham's out there.
Oh boy.
Shaq Leonard's out there, which, if you'd have told me that like 3 years ago, that'd have been very exciting.
Yeah, jump all over that.
Back in his days of
Let's
being Darius.
That's right. Yeah, I know, and he's had way too much stuff. He's had
Yeah.
way too much stuff to with the back and everything. Someone says, I'm Dr. Gruber, we have to step up. I'm okay with inside linebacker being below average. Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, well, Otis Reese is a guy to keep in mind, at least in some kind of role. Murray, maybe Murray does work out great, and he certainly. That's another thing Maddox said. He's like, I think Murray as a pass rusher is something to
Yeah.
really keep in mind. But I mean, man, that's if you're going with talk about like kind of two gambles in very different ways with if it's Gibbons and Murray, man, that could work out quite poorly.
Absolutely. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols game tonight against Creighton, his thoughts on the Predators winning streak or point streak, excuse me, coming to an end yesterday against Arizona. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.